I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 6 with verse 1. If you have your Bible, I want you to keep it open here and allow the Lord to speak to your heart. There is either a man-centered life being lived by each of us or a Christ-centered life. And may God guide us and help us in the Christ-centered life. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou mayest that may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark these expressions. Repetition God gives us for emphasis in verse 4. Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 6, thy Father which seeth, which is in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then again, the Word of God says in verse 18, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's so many great lessons to learn from this teaching given to us by the Lord Jesus. But I want to concentrate on this one thing, and I'd like for you to write it down. I want to speak to you about your secret life. I want to speak to you on your secret life. Not what men see, but what God sees. Your secret life, my secret life. We all have a secret life that's known only to God. If you ever receive the blessing of God, it's because of what God sees in your secret life. If you ever witness the great moving of God in revival, it's because of something God has seen in secret and rewards it openly. If you've ever witnessed the miraculous blessing of God, in whatever matter you may imagine, it's because God has seen something in secret that rewards openly. Churches today, more than you could ever imagine, are trying to live a life before men. But the victorious life can only be lived before God. Before God. What God sees in secret, He rewards openly. Notice just a couple of things, perhaps, that we learn in addition to all of this. Verse 8 says, "Do not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." So many times I hear people praying and they're trying to give God information. If you fall into that habit, it's a bad habit. If you happen to hear someone else praying that way, giving God information, as if God doesn't know and you're informing Him. Well, the Bible says that He knows before you ask. Listen to the scripture again. "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them." Now think of that, before you ask them. It's secret. Secret things. Verse 16 says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance." The Puritans called fasting soul feasting. Think of that. Fasting, soul feasting. Now the body fasting, but the soul feasting, with the emphasis on your secret life and my secret life. One of the most fascinating verses in the Bible to me is found in the little book of 3 John, penned by, of course, the Apostle John. I want you to look at it, please. The Bible says in verse 1 of 3 John, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And then verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." In other words, they knew Gaius to be a man whose soul prospered. He was rich toward God in soul feasting. And so they start from the inside out, and John writes, "I know you need health and strength physically. If you could just be as strong physically as you are spiritually." In other words, the Godward view is what it ought to be. The manward view, what you're dealing with in the appearance and in health and in body, has much to be desired. And I'm praying that the strength of your soul, in like manner, you'll have the strength of your body. Now, the truth of the matter is, if we were all equaled out that way, most of us would have such a weak soul, we'd be anemic, they'd be calling the emergency squad to help us in our physical well-being also. What is your secret life like? I believe after all these years, I can speak about your secret life and my secret life, because it's the secret life that God wants to bless and will bless. There's so many things God has for us as a church, as a people, as individuals. And I want to tell you something. Alone with God, any one of you can pull down the aid of heaven upon what we're trying to accomplish. Amen. Any one of you. If your secret life is what it ought to be. Let me repeat that. Any one of you. You may appear like a member of this church or part of this body that doesn't have the influence that others have, but I want you to know, if your secret life is what it ought to be, you can pull down the aid of heaven for anything we're trying to do in the will of God. So what is your secret life? What is your secret life? I want you to write a few things down. Would you please? Number one, You cannot hide, and I cannot hide, the secret life from God. He sees it all. Hold your place here just a moment. Let's go back in the Old Testament for just a moment. The Bible says in the 139th Psalm, beginning with verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Verse 9 of Psalm 139, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. We cannot hide from God. God is looking this moment in my secret life and in your secret life. No matter what you appear to be, what people think of you, God sees our secret life. Look again with me, please. In the 91st Psalm, the Word of God says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Think of that. There is a secret place in our secret life, in God's secret place. Our secret life in God's secret place, in fellowship with God. In other words, you and I don't have to brag about what we have, what we can do, what we can get done. God knows our secret life. You might want to memorize this proverb. In Proverbs chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 3 of Proverbs 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know, no matter who you are, whether you're a preacher or whatever, you can only carry on with this public appearance so long, because the real strength comes from your secret life. Your secret life. Maybe you're a teenager and you think you've got everybody fooled. No, you don't. God sees your secret life. I've known many a husband and many a wife in their secret life who did not live a life of integrity, and it finally came out. I've conducted marriages. I'm thinking about one now that was more than 20 years ago here in this church. A young man, I had doubts about him, but the girl was just carried away with the thing, and the mother and the mother-in-law carried away with the thing. But I never thought the boy was genuine. It took him 2 days after we pronounced him man and wife, 2 days to tell his wife that he really didn't like to be with females. And what was he doing? Something was wrong in his secret life. His secret life. What is in your secret life? Let's look again in Matthew chapter 6, would you please? The Bible says in verse 4, thy Father which seeth in secret. He seeth in secret. Again, in verse 6, thy Father which seeth in secret. Think of that. And again in verse 18, thy Father which seeth in secret. We cannot hide our secret life. If God blesses us, if God blesses this ministry, it's not because of what we're doing in public. It's not for anything we might do that people applaud and say, oh, I like that. If God blesses us, he blesses us for our secret life being right with him. Now that is a great consideration for me, because I must live consciously in the presence of God, recognizing that God seeth in secret. Now I want to do some amazing things for the Lord. I believe God put them in my heart. Some of them require maybe more faith than you might imagine, but I believe God put them in my heart. But how shall we do them? We shall not do them, and we shall never accomplish them. You don't accomplish them in size. You don't accomplish them through offerings. You don't accomplish them through religious coalitions, building up numbers of people. That's not the way God's work is done. Those things are accomplished because the God of heaven and earth, with whom nothing is impossible, sees what he will bless in our secret life, and he blesses it. That's the beginning and the end of it. That's all there is to it. And so we must live the right life in our secret life. I want you to write down a second thing, would you please? And that is, we must confess and get rid of all hypocrisy. All. All hypocrisy. Sometimes hypocrisy begins with embellishing things. Sometimes hypocrisy begins with guile. We don't tell it exactly like it is. Lots of Christian people are full of guile. Lots of Christian people like to embellish things. I know many preachers who like to do that, about the size of their church or the size of their offerings or what's going on in their place. What is your area of hypocrisy? What is it? In other words, it's the area that keeps you from being the person of integrity because something that appears is not what it appears to be. There's hypocrisy. The Word of God says in each of these places, look in verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. There's hypocrisy in our prayer life. We must confess it, get it clean. Get rid of the hypocrisy. You see, if you get serious about wanting God's blessing, you have to get rid of the hypocrisy. You say, I really want God to do something only God can do. With God, nothing's impossible. You can talk a good talk, but the truth of the matter is, it's no avail. There's no avail to it. There's nothing going to happen like you want it to happen or talk about it happening until the hypocrisy's gone. God requires a clean vessel. Do you realize how easy it would be for me just to live on the fumes? You ever drive on the fumes when you're a kid and you got your first car and you thought, man, I've got no gas in this thing. I'm just moving on the fumes. There's nothing left of the real gas. I'm just now moving on the fumes. You're just thinking any moment this thing's going to stop. Well, you know, after you've done this and preached this and been there and been involved in this, that, and the other, you could just coast on in on the fumes, on experience, on what people think or what you think you know. God will not allow it. He will not allow it because it's not genuine. It's not open. It's not plain. It's not clear. It's not clean with him. It's hypocrisy. I'm speaking to the church I love about this because I don't want us to get to heaven and have God say to us as a body of believers, I had so much for you. So many ways I wanted to use you. I was going to send a mighty revival through you in your city. But I couldn't do it because of your hypocrisy. Look at it again, please. And we're to get rid of this hypocrisy. Oh, my God, help us. Verse 5, as I read a moment ago, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. And he says again and again, not as the hypocrites are. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. In every one of these areas, there can be hypocrisy. And the Lord, why did he choose these three areas? He says in verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. That's hypocrisy, see. Don't do it just to be seen of men. There are many people who don't want to do anything without being recognized. I feel sorry for those people. The Bible says in verse 2, therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do. You see, when we give, And this particular matter of alms is not the tithe. It's an offering and a work we're doing to try to encourage others. It's giving to the poor and giving for special things. And God says, when you do it as unto the Lord, handing into God's hand. And I believe that every one of us, how many of you tithe by conviction? Would you raise your hand? I think you not only ought to do that, because God teaches that, you ought to give offerings above and beyond that without hypocrisy. And every time you give, you should pray that God will bless it and others will give also. Pray in your giving that God will bless it and others will give also. What about our secret life? And then he gets beyond the giving and he deals with this. Look at it, please. And when thou prayest, verse 5, when thou prayest, he goes on to talk about prayer. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. You see, all hypocrisy has to be done away with in prayer. And then he talks about not only in alms and prayer, and the matter of fasting. I regret that I haven't talked more about that through all these years. My wife and I have had periods of time in our life where we have fasted and prayed, most of the time for our children or for our grandchildren or for some special thing that needs to be accomplished in this church. And we did it secretly to the Lord and turned from things in this world and to the Lord, feeding our souls, strengthening the inner man, helping us, we believe, to be strong, to get through something or to pray through something or to trust God in something. Sometimes when you're under a burden or you've got a burden you're facing, you want everybody to know about it. And you say, you don't know how I'm suffering, what I'm going through, it's been the awfulest mess. You just lost all reward. All. You say, I just want people to pray for me. No. Many times you just want somebody's sympathy more than you want God's blessing. What is your secret life like? We must get rid of all hypocrisy. Anything that soils the conscience, anything that's not genuine, get rid of it. Some of the biggest church bosses in churches, now look, I've been in it 50 years, are hypocrites. Many preachers are hypocrites. Hypocrites. The life is not lived as unto the Lord. I'm saying, pay no attention to me and pleasing me. Make sure first and foremost you please the Lord as God sees everything. Is it all clear? Are the gates all what they ought to be? Is everything right with you, Lord? Am I on praying ground? Any of the snags that snag up things and hinder the work, is it all gone? Is it all out? I think anyone that comes to sing or anyone that comes to speak or comes to pray should say, oh God, help me to be clean before thee so I can be blessed in what I do for thee. We must confess all hypocrisy. Ask God to help us. Then there's a third thing I'd like for you to write down. It is God's desire to reward and bless us. It's God's desire. Think of this. There are people living on a starvation diet spiritually, and when God wants to bless them with spiritual things. There are churches weak and anemic, and Christians weak and anemic, while a God in heaven desires to bless and reward his children. I've heard many parents through the years say to me, Pastor, you know, I've got the money to give him, but I can't give it to him because I know how he's going to waste it. Pastor, I've got the money and means to help her, but I can't do it. I just can't do it because I know she's going to give it to the devil and throw her life away. Well, in the same sense, God looks at me and God looks at you And it's not that he's not able to bless, not able to provide. The Lord can show up any way he chooses. We've had people call us who listened to the radio program. We never knew they listened, or listened on the internet, or found a message somewhere in some distant part of the country or some other place around the world, and said, we want to give you $50,000, or we're going to send you $30,000. Or the grandmother just died. She wants her money given to a Christian ministry, and you've been a blessing. We don't even know who they are. I'm saying God can do anything he pleases, any way he pleases. And I want him to see something that pleases him so we can be blessed by him. And I believe when the blessing comes, we must be true there. Whatever we say we're doing with it, or whatever we say we need it for, it ought to be done exactly that way, without any varying anything. Never any misrepresentation about it. Because that's not just for those people, it's for God. You see what I mean? It's for God, and doing it for God. Oh, may the Lord help us. He says again and again and again, reward thee openly. Look at it, verse 4. Would you mark that? Reward thee openly. Look at it again in verse 6 at the conclusion. Reward thee openly. Look at it again in verse 18. Reward thee openly. You know, he says it, and to repeat it, and repeatedly he says, I want to reward you openly. I want to reward you openly. Do you understand this? I want to reward you openly. It's my desire, God says, to bless you and reward you openly. Well, what condition? What condition? Our secret life, right with him. Some student may hide something in the dorm, but not from God. Some child, teenager, or man or woman may hide something where they think nobody can find it. God not only saw where you hid it, he knew the thought you had to hide it. Nothing is hidden from him. And by the way, he's not running around like a dirty bully to punish you. He's our Heavenly Father, and he has a desire to bless you and reward you. Do you want his blessing and his reward? Then make sure your secret life is what it ought to be. This is very convicting to me. Very convicting. But it's a faith-building thing when we're really seeking out the Lord and want to be clean with God. Because we can expect, as we move forward by faith, that God will come through, because we're seeking to do what God said. That doesn't mean anybody's perfect. When things pop in my mind or things snag my life in some way, I just need to get clean with it. Get clean with it. Lord, I know that doesn't belong in my mind. That doesn't belong in my life. That's not what I want to be. And we confess it. And God says when we confess it, he forgives us and cleanses us and puts us back where we ought to be, in our secret life. But let's just imagine for a moment. I want you to imagine with me that this is just the beginning. I want you to imagine that all God has done through all these years to this fellowship of believers is just the starting point. Many people think about it just exactly the opposite. But I want you to think just a moment about God's blessings in your life, that this is just the beginning. God's blessings in your church, just the beginning. Think of it. And then think of this. There's a bank in heaven that God has with every kind of blessing imaginable. Some blessings of health, some blessings of sickness, some blessings of strength, some blessings of weakness. I believe God has given me strength and God has given me weakness. God has provided and God has withdrawn. God has withheld and God has poured out. It's whatever he wants, whatever he's doing, I want to be pleased with his will. You understand that? But he knows if that's really true in my life. I want to live my life in such a way that God can bless it and that involves our secret life. I fully believe that heaven's bank is full of things that we're supposed to receive. It may not be exactly what you think is coming from it, but it's what God knows we need. And I want to receive what God has for us. Do you? Then we must care for our secret life. Let's pray together, may we?